Today I'm proclaiming the word of God from the epistle reading, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 to 24. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we receive your word, fill us with your spirit, so that we may mature as discerning Christian people who hold fast to what is good and to let go of all that is evil. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to start tonight's sermon with a kind of thought experiment. I'll read out the first words, but as you receive them, think about how different it is to receive them as directed to you as individuals or as a congregation. How different do they sound when you take them on board personally or when you take them on board as a member of a congregation, as you hear them corporately? Here they are. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Now, when we think about these words as individuals, certain questions will naturally normally arise. It says here, pray without ceasing. Well, how do we do this? How do we do this when we're making dinner or doing our jobs? Last night I watched The Big Bash. How can I do that while praying without ceasing? It's a normal sort of question if we take this teaching as directed to us primarily as individuals. Likewise, when it comes to rejoicing or giving thanks. Sometimes we face circumstances in our own lives where lament seems to be the appropriate response. Maybe we're facing serious health challenges, or we are in grief, or we have insurmountable personal problems with our workmates or family members. How do we give thanks in every circumstance or rejoice when lament seems to be in order? These are reasonable questions, it seems to me, and we do well to consider how we receive teaching like this from 1 Thessalonians as you think about our own life path. Let's think about this now from a congregational point of view. What would it mean if we receive these words corporately as a congregation? How do we together rejoice always? How do we as a congregation pray without ceasing? How do we here at Bethlehem give thanks in all circumstances? These questions, it seems to me, have rather different answers, which we'll be exploring at the beginning of the sermon tonight. As it happens, the word you that's used in tonight's reading from 1 Thessalonians is always in the plural. You could say you all, or in more colloquial Australian parlance, yous. Likewise, the commands, rejoice, give thanks, pray, this is in the plural. For those of you who are into grammar, these are second person plural imperatives addressed to the congregation. Okay, let's think about this now when it comes to our life as a congregation and the liturgy. Because it seems to me that God fulfills these commands among us, especially in the liturgy of our church, where we together pray without ceasing, where we do give thanks in all circumstances, and where we rejoice always. Let's think together, first of all, about rejoicing. Perhaps you've come this evening and the particular circumstances of your life are more fit for lament than for joy. This is understandable. This is who we are as individuals on our own path. But when we come together as a congregation, we don't blind ourselves to our own problems, but we lift our eyes from our own life to what God has done for us in Christ Jesus. A bit like, you could say, someone who supports a football team going along to a game to attend to the game, but at a much more fundamental level. We come together as God's people and we rejoice in the victory that God has won for us in Christ Jesus. We acknowledge that this is the great gift that God gives us. And so, Sunday by Sunday, we meet together and we rejoice. this time of Advent is a time when we restrain some of our joy. We hold back some of our songs of praise. But still, even in Advent, even in Lent, we together rejoice. Because always as we meet together on the Lord's Day, the day of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, we have something to rejoice in. Even when COVID made it hard for us to meet together here in this location, yet still as a congregation in our homes, either through the internet or through worship packages, we worshiped together. We worship always. Likewise, when we meet together here as a congregation, we do not cease to pray. Have you ever been to a service at Bethlehem where there has not been prayer? We pray even in our children's address, and we certainly pray when we meet together in our congregational liturgies, whether it's the service with communion or matins or vespers. Prayer is part of our life together as God's people. Maybe sometimes you come to church with no words of prayer for yourself. Then you have brothers and sisters in Christ who are with you who hold you up in prayer. And so God's command to pray without ceasing meets its fulfillment in the life of the congregation. We will pray tonight. We will pray the prayer of the church among many other prayers. As God's people, as we gather together as a congregation, we pray without ceasing. And likewise, by God's grace, we give thanks in all circumstances. We see this, it seems to me, chiefly fulfilled in our Eucharistic liturgy. Eucharist means thanksgiving. You'll hear tonight Pastor Josh say, "The Lord be with you, and also with you. Lift up your hearts." We lift them up to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. For that is fitting and right, we'll say. It is indeed fitting and right. And that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Lord God, Holy Father, is how the prayer goes on. Thanksgiving is at the heart of who we are as God's people. It's our Lord Jesus Christ who leads us in this thanksgiving. So no matter what circumstances we face as individuals, as a congregation, we have reason to give thanks. And indeed, in the Lord's Supper, we are bound together in the forgiveness that we receive in Jesus' name. Note again, by the way, that St. Paul says, "For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." Sometimes we can wonder as Christian people, well, what is God's will for my life? And this text gives us a good answer to that question. It's God's will that we gather together, that we pray without ceasing, that we rejoice always, and that we give thanks in every circumstance. We can know that when we do this, this is God's will for us in Christ Jesus. If you want to see God's will done in your life, join in the liturgy of the church, which focuses on Christ and his victory. Now, the next words we hear from God's word are also, it seems to me, directed to us together. Listen to what St. Paul says. "Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise the words of prophets, but test everything. Hold fast to what is good. Abstain from every form of evil." Now, the text does not say what the words of the prophets are in this context. It does not spell that out. One way I think about it today is any word that comes to us purporting to be the word of the Lord. When someone says to us something like, "Thus saith the Lord, here's God's will," this, you could say, in a broad way, is a word of prophecy. And I use one exploratory example today to deal with this word from 1 Thessalonians. It's an exploratory example that deals with a controversial issue in the wider church, and that is the issue of the ordination of women as well as men into the office of the public ministry. Now, a church has public teaching on this issue. We use readings from 1 Corinthians and Timothy, which on their face of it and in our teaching exclude women from exercising the office of the public ministry. And we say that this apostolic ruling is binding on all Christendom. This is our public teaching. And it comes to us, you could say, in a prophetic way. Thus saith the Lord, this is God's will. And it's good for us to know that this is indeed the public teaching of our church. But we also know that there are many voices which question this teaching, including the voices of pastors and indeed bishops. They go to other readings and say, well, God's will is that women be included in this office and make their argument from Scripture. Well, we have two positions, you could say, both claiming thus saith the Lord, from pastors even, and even from bishops. What are we to do given that this is the reality of life in our church? Well, again, St. Paul writes these words, don't quench the Spirit. Don't despise the words of prophets. Test everything. Hold fast to what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. I think these words describe what actually happens in the life of the Lutheran Church of Australia, if somewhat imperfectly. We don't simply refuse to listen to people who have a contrary teaching to our own, who present to us the Word of God in a way that we find difficult to hear. But we test as individuals, but also together as a church. Now, all of us as individuals have our own path of life, our own experiences in life. And these shape the way that we listen to God's word and hand it on. Where have we come down on the spectrum of responses to the question of women's ordination? It's a fact that our own life story will determine to some extent how we listen to the Bible, how we hand it on. But we listen together to God's word in a way that makes it easier for us to test, to hold on to what is good and to let go of what is evil. There are challenges and counter challenges. We want together as God's people to have God's will done in our lives. When we seek not to quench the Spirit, but to test, we know this is good for us as a church. When we want to hold on to what's good and abstain from every form of evil, we are on a good path, at least so it seems to me in this exploratory part of the sermon. St. Paul doesn't say that this process is easy or quick. Indeed, it can be very fatiguing and difficult. And yet we know that through this process, as we continue together, giving thanks, praying, and rejoicing, God's will is done in our lives. Do you feel despondent because of this ongoing controversy in the church? As you give thanks, as you pray, as you rejoice together with your brothers and sisters in Christ, God's will is done. And we can rejoice and pray and give thanks because the ultimate victory is in Christ Jesus over sin and death and hell. It's Christ who has won the victory for us. And this gives us a confidence not in what we can achieve, but in what God has done for us by his grace, his favor. Now, St. Paul draws this passage to a close not by telling us to do anything, but by pronouncing a blessing and by encouraging us. He says, may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit and soul and body be kept sound and blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do this. Now, just a fun fact, if anything involving Latin can be called fun. But in the traditional Latin Bible, the words at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ are in adventu. In adventu. Domini Nostri Jesu Christi, in the advent, in the coming in glory, in the revelation to bring his justice, his restoration, and his peace. These are words for us to hear this time of advent. It's God who's called us together to faith in Christ Jesus. He calls us as individuals. He calls us by name. God knows you better than you know yourself. He knows the number of hairs on your head. When you were baptized as individuals, you were adopted into the household of God, into a great family where there are many brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus. We have our own path of faith as individuals, but it always involves us together with the greater church, even here as a congregation at Bethlehem. And because God does his work among us, we can rejoice always. We can pray without ceasing, and we can give thanks in all circumstances. This is not a theory. This is not what might happen. This is by God's grace we see happen with our own eyes. As we come together as a congregation, as we meet together in the presence of God, who serves us through his word and who builds us up together in love. Well, may God keep us growing in wisdom, in discernment, in maturity in this path of faith together. For Jesus' sake, amen. Let's stand. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds safe in Christ Jesus. Amen.